Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. Many have attended the Sky Family Revival concerts and have been greatly touched by the Holy Spirit. This program was created to keep that fire alive. Today is the day to wake up from all our worldly distractions to seek first the kingdom of God. Nothing will satisfy your soul like giving Jesus first place in your life. Nothing will restore our country except for those who are called by His name to start seeking the Lord with all their might. And this is revival, that we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Join us today. Let revival begin with you.
Law. The very word evokes a reaction in many people. In some, it is seen as a restriction of their freedom, and hence we have seen the rise of groups determined to resist the law by force if necessary. In others, it is perceived as a threat to their way of life. In many Christians, it brings a reaction of revulsion or disdain because it has been stated so many times that we are not under the law, that the very word evokes cries of legalism. But there is much more to law than our gut reactions tell us. Today, we're going to look into the concept of law to see what the Bible has to say about it. Where does the law fit into a Christian's life? Is there any place for law? There is a world of knowledge to be gained from a close look at this subject. Join us for this exciting look into biblical law right here on Skies Revival Radio.
Great light, and those who dwell in dark depression, the light it will shine on them. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hi, this is Tom from the Sky Family. Welcome to Skies Revival Radio. We're starting a new series now called Through the Narrow Gate, the Surprising Door to Radiant Life. For those who've been listening through the year, we have just concluded our Matthew series. It was a close look into the gospel where we saw the simple truths of Jesus standing in stark contrast to so much of what we take for granted today. I know that many have found it edifying and instructive, and I trust that each one will continue reading the Gospels for themselves. There is no substitute for personal reading of the Word of God. It's not our goal to conform people to our way of thinking. We want everyone to read the Word for themselves. When that happens, there is automatically a sweet bond of unity because the Bible is only saying one thing. It is simple instruction for ordinary people. So pray that the Holy Spirit would open your understanding and continue to read the Word starting at the first page of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew. Now we're moving on to the next book of our Revival Begins With You series, again called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. You can order this book online at Amazon or download a copy from our website if you want to follow along with a hard copy. I strongly suggest you do, because you'll want to take notes and reference them as we go into the next chapters. This course, along with the Matthew series, has been the core curriculum of our Bible school for a number of years. In this series, we're going to bring out the time-tested concepts of biblical Christianity as particularly found in the Reformation. What we're going to do is examine in the next lessons the firm foundation of Martin Luther, the Christianity of George Whitefield, the Christianity of John Bunyan and Charles Spurgeon. It is so instructive that at first it may seem a little hard to grasp, but as you apply yourself to study, it will yield a whole new understanding of what it really means to walk with Jesus. This is also, interestingly, a transition that was made by our dear brother David Wilkerson about halfway through his career, and it brought such a change in him that it produced the remarkable results that have come out of his later ministry. So let's launch right into the first lesson. We'll start by reading Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither, and in whatever he does, he prospers. The question I'm going to ask is, why am I so empty? There is a gnawing emptiness that plagues so many people, including so many Christians, that it is one of the most prevailing heart attitudes of our time. What can possibly explain the waves of discontentment and emptiness that wash over us at the best of times? We allegedly live in the most prosperous and enlightened generation. The focus of all of our attention and energy is self-fulfillment, and yet the vast majority of people are neither happy nor satisfied with their lives. Self-fulfillment seems to be the one thing we lack. Of course, everyone has bad days, so we can easily explain the despair we have when our car breaks down on the way to work. What we can't explain is the lack of satisfaction that accompanies getting the things we want. We buy all the things that promise us excitement. We get the job that will be so rewarding. We move to the perfect neighborhood. Our house is as good or better than our neighbor's. The coveted vehicle is sitting in our driveway. We spend all of our time playing with the latest games and toys. But rather than having joy and contentment, we're empty. Why am I so empty? The answer to that question surprisingly starts way back in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is part of the first five books of the Bible called the Books of the Law. They were written by God through Moses and formed the foundation for the Jewish and Christian religions. Deuteronomy is the fifth, last book of the law and consists mainly of a summary of God's laws regarding man's conduct. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find distinct clues to the problem of mankind's state of general misery. As we begin reading this chapter, we find Moses has just finished instructing his people at length about the Ten Commandments and the laws of God. And he concludes with this foundation stone of our universe. The blessing. Now it shall be, if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do all of his commandments, which I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, blessed shall you be in the country, blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command his blessing upon you and all that you put your hand to. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, as he swore to you. If you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, the Lord will make you abound in prosperity. The Lord will open for you the good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today, to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left. But it shall come about, if you will not obey the Lord your God, to observe all of his commandments and his statutes, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground. Cursed shall you be when you come in. Cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses and confusion and rebuke in all that you undertake to do. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you. The Lord will smite you with cancer, with fever, with inflammation and fiery heat, with the sword and with blight and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. The heaven which is over your head shall be bronze, and the earth iron. The Lord will make the rain powder and dust. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them, but flee seven ways before them, and you shall be an example of terror to all. The Lord will smite you with boils and with tumors and scab, with itch from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness and blindness and bewilderment of heart. You will only be oppressed and robbed continually. That's from Deuteronomy chapter 28 in the New American Standard Bible. Now, you'll notice here that in all these things, God keeps referring to his laws and the need to obey them. He is stating clearly that there is punishment for breaking his laws and blessing or reward for obeying them. That's a pretty foreign concept to us today, but it is the age-old Christianity I was referring to earlier. This concept was central to the Reformation. And if you even look into the founding fathers of America and the writers of the Constitution, you'll find that they set forth the basic tenets of the Christianity they were trying to protect, and the reward for obedience and the punishment for breaking God's laws were part of those basic tenets common to all the churches represented in their illustrious gathering. So looking at this concept carefully, now we have some evidence of what the general problem is. To the question of why am I so empty, the Bible's answer is that we have fallen on the wrong side of God's laws because of constantly ignoring them and breaking them. And this is not peculiar to the Old Testament. The Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verse 25, he who does wrong will receive the consequences of the wrong he has done, and that without partiality. And that means no matter who you are or how justified you feel about doing something that God's law says is wrong, you will actually be punished. Now, let's start with the basics. Why are these laws so important to our personal happiness? Why is it that we can't simply ignore them? We live in a time of great lawlessness. Laws are perceived as annoying, unnecessary, restricting to our personal freedom. If you are a believer, you will hear over and over that you are under grace and not under the law. Any attempts to actually obey God's word will be met with cries of legalism. And so the law is perceived as bad and something to be avoided. We have even gone so far as to take great pride in openly disregarding laws. However, let's consider just one small example to help change our very concept of the law. How many times have you been irritated at being restrained by traffic laws? Now, picture driving into one of our major cities. I'm going to pick on Boston because it has a number of unusual intersections, some containing 5 or 6 convergent streets. During rush hour, these intersections are considered to be chaotic. Each driver is impatiently straining to get through, sometimes waiting 2 or 3 changes from red to green before successfully passing through the intersection. Irritation at being slowed down is evidenced on many faces. But this is not chaos. If there is a power outage and the traffic signals go down, now that is chaos. Now, coincidentally, as these words were being written, the largest electric blackout in history occurred, leaving New York City, Toronto, and Detroit, and a number of other cities with no power. And the result of having no traffic signals was graphically displayed as the afternoon rush hour traffic came to a complete standstill. It became very evident that it is precisely because we have traffic laws that we can drive in the city at all. Without them, confusion reigns. It is not even possible to drive through a crowded area. So traffic laws are not only good, but essential for us to live and conduct business. And so it is with all law. Law is not evil. Law is not something to avoid. It is the handmaid of the Lord that enables men to live together. It is not possible for men to live together without law. Law is an agreement between men to do thus and thus, to do so and so, so that we will not infringe on each other's rights or abilities. Law itself is of divine origin, and all of the universe operates under strict laws. All of God's creation works within laws. So though we feel in today's society that laws are restrictive and evil, and if you're a Christian, you don't want anything to do with the law, but law is not something to be avoided, or is it evil in itself? In fact, on the contrary, law is essential to your life. The avoidance that so many Christians today have towards anything to do with law comes from a misunderstanding of the concept of law and a confusion about what it means to be under the law or under grace. The concept of being under grace has made us misunderstand what law is, and we have thrown out all law, thinking that law is evil and somehow against the grace of God. This is simply not so. If there were no law, you would be in danger every single minute of every single day. If there were no law, we would be living with anarchy, and all of our society would be ruled by those who were the toughest and the most ruthless. You would not be safe in your home if there was no law. You have safety because there is law. So let us begin to re-examine our concept of law. Even though the very mention of law evokes a great cry of legalism today, the religious everywhere exclaim, "We are not saved by works." Well, nothing can be more true than we are not saved by works. We are saved only through the undeserved merit of Jesus' death on our behalf. However, as you follow along with this series, you will come to a new understanding of law in general and God's laws in specific. Many of the mystery verses will be cleared up, and all the Bible will fit together as a unified whole. We are not saved by grace to live by any standard that we decide is good for ourselves. We are not like the time before the judges where each man did what was right in his own eyes. So what is it that God has saved us to? I'm going to leave that question with you right now and allow you to think about it and ponder it during the week and see what kind of answers you come up with yourself. As you do, this series is going to start becoming very exciting to you. We look forward to joining again with you next week as we go further into this topic of law, why law is so essential to our lives, why God's laws are good. All of God's laws are good, and they are for our benefit. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we ask you to open our understanding that we might become law-abiding citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Lord Jesus, you don't want chaos and everyone doing their own thing. Lord, you have a wonderful, orderly way of living where each one respects the other. Please instruct us in your good way so that we can learn to understand that the grace of God is that we might become wonderfully good citizens of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, thank you so much for our time together today. Bless each one who is listening. In Jesus' holy name, amen. We have uplifting and edifying material available on our website, skiesrevivalradio.org. The first book of the Revival Begins With You series is perhaps the most inspiring of all. It's called Through the Narrow Gate, The Surprising Door to Radiant Life. It will help you to sort through all the noise and take you back to the genuine old-fashioned gospel that's reminiscent of George Whitfield, D.L. Moody, and Charles Spurgeon. It's available in both printed and digital formats. And our Celtic Revival CD is also available, along with our brand new CD called Courageous. All of these will lift your spirit up to the heavenlies. Please type in Skies Revival Radio and take advantage of these books and CDs, especially made to lift you up out of the miry clay and set your feet on the straight and narrow path that leads to life.
These radio programs are aired weekly all across the country and on internet radio. It is a faith ministry, and they are supported only by the Sky Family and a little group of concerned Christians who contribute to the radio ministry. If you have been helped or encouraged or edified in any way, would you consider joining that small group to keep these broadcasts going out? It takes a lot of money to produce these programs and to get them out to those who can hear and be encouraged to begin the exciting adventure of personal revival. Your joining with us in this ministry would be a real blessing to many people. Because we don't deduct any kind of administration fee, every dollar you send goes directly to getting the gospel out into this dark world. So even a small donation goes a long way. If you go online and type in Skies Revival Radio, our homepage will come up. Somewhere on the page will be a donate button. If you click on that, you will find a number of ways you can join us in this important work. Or call us at 508-887-1051. That's 508-887-1051. 887-1051, or email us at tourmanager@theskies.org. If you can't afford anything, don't worry. You can still join our team by standing in the gap and praying with us week by week as the broadcasts go out. It takes a lot of money and a lot of prayer to have the gospel go forth through the media. Thanks so much for your help financially and in prayer. May God bless you.
Snow-covered fir trees on magical nights, moonlight that sparkles on hard, frosty ground, happy red ribbons on green branches bound, sweet songs to Jesus from glad hearts resound. He's still the same Jesus, he's still the same Son, born of a virgin, the innocent one. Snowflakes and fragrance and candles and bells, in his holy heart every lovely thing dwells. Another cold night, a glittering star, the parents whose eyes shone with hot joyful tears, the prophets fulfilled the hope of the years. The King of all kings, our Savior is here. He's still the same Jesus, he's still the same Son, born of a virgin, the innocent one. Snowflakes and fragrance and candles and bells, in his holy heart every lovely thing dwells. Pictures with Santa the stores advertise, but my Jesus won't change, he's without compromise. The sweet joys of Christmas this world cannot change. Christ is still reigning, it's his holiday. He's still the same Jesus, he's still the same Son, born of a virgin, the innocent one. Snowflakes and fragrance and candles and bells, in his holy heart every lovely thing dwells. He's still the same Jesus, he's still the same Son, born of a virgin, the innocent one. Snowflakes and fragrance and candles and bells, in his holy heart every lovely thing dwells. In his holy heart every lovely thing dwells.